Let's honor God. We want all the kids to stay in services with us and learn how adult service works and be here for communion. So that where we do things a little bit different on Family Sunday. But so John chapter 8, 41 through 47. And we can even back up and read 39 through 47. Keep it in context of what he's saying here. We'll understand as we keep going through John 8 here. John 8, 39 through 47 says this. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I am not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you, Lord, this morning for our kids and our time that we get to spend with them in service, celebrating you, Lord, and that they will learn about you. And I thank you for our opportunity to teach them this week at VBS. Lord, as we're here this morning, we want to worship you. And Lord, as we dig into your word, let us open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to receive your word this morning. Let it change us and affect us. Above all, we want to glorify and honor you. We love you and we thank you. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so let's do a quick review a little bit from last week in case you weren't here and kind of the context here. But last week we talked about how the Jews that Jesus is talking here tried to identify themselves as Abraham's children because Abraham was blessed in God's sight, and he said, "You're going to be the father of many nations," and they were God's chosen people, and so they wanted to identify as Abraham's children, and they were in a physical sense that they descended from Abraham. But Jesus quickly responded to them that if they were Abraham's children, that they would be doing the works that Abraham did. And so we looked at some of Abraham's physical works that he did, but the one thing that was the most important that I hope you got was that Abraham was obedient to God, and when he was asked to do something, but that's not how he was justified. He was justified before God or made right before God because of his faith. And so when Jesus is telling them to look at Abraham's work, what is he pointing to? Yes, he was obedient in circumcision. Yes, he was obedient by taking Isaac. And those are all very, very important things that after we become justified, we do with our actions follow the Lord. But if you remember, it was back in Genesis chapter 15, because how was Abraham justified? It said he believed God. So when Jesus is telling them this, that you would do Abraham's work, what is he telling them? He's saying, you would believe in who I am. If you are really children of Abraham, followers of Abraham, you would do what Abraham did, and that would be believe me. And they clearly didn't do that. We talked about how he was willing to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, which is a picture of the death of Christ. The one sacrifice for all. We talked about how he did those things because he believed in God. But it was his belief that he was counted as righteous. And only because of our belief are we counted as righteous. That the works that we do after we become followers are because we love the Lord. And our good works are because we love him and we want to serve him, not to be made right in his eyes. So, today we go into this and we see this statement that Jesus makes to them that really cuts them to the core. And he says in verse 41, and let's go back, "You're doing the works your father did." And who was he talking about? Who was Jesus saying their father was? Well, in verse 44, he clarifies it. And he says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. So that kind of brings us to today when it talks about Satan's desires or the devil's desires. What are his works? What is some of the things that he does and that he... And Jesus even talks about him in here, and that's going to be our points today. But John later on writes about almost the identical same thing. If you go to 1 John chapter 3, turn there. 1 John 3, 7 through 8. 1 John 3, 7 through 8. And we're going to talk about this today. We'll break this down also. It says, little children, I'll wait. Tell me when you're there. Give me a big amen. If you don't know where 1 John is, just try to recap what Hunter mentioned a few minutes ago. It's a little book. 1 John 3, 7 through 8. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So he talks about the works of the devil. Well, what and that Christ came to destroy those works. Well, what is that? It's sin. And Jesus mentions a couple of things in our verses back in John chapter 8 that Satan did. And the first one, he says he was a murderer. He was a murderer from the very beginning. Now, what is Satan's idea of murder? What is he trying to do? He's trying to destroy God's most precious creation. He wants to destroy God's creation, which is us. Which is, we are made in the image of God, and so he wants to destroy that. Because if he can destroy what's made in God's image, he thinks, I can get at God, I can cut God. So that's his number one goal, is to destroy creation. Satan has no value on human life whatsoever at all. Not only does Satan want to destroy human life or physical life, but he also wants to destroy spiritual life. And guys, let me say, we see this all over right now, all over our country. We see in this lost world no value on human life at all. None whatsoever. We see it with the issue of abortion. That's clearly, and we talk about that a lot. But we also see it in these murder rates all over our country. I mean, people literally kill each other over cutting each other off in traffic. I mean, they're that high strung, and that's how they don't value human life. I know here a few months ago, there was a lady that got cut off in traffic or something. She got out of her car, and the person just ran her over. I mean, literally in our society today, we don't have a value on human life at all. At all. The TV shows, violence is just rampant. You can't even watch the evening news anymore without there being violence. The TV shows of today are not the TV shows that they were 30 or 40 years ago. That were some wholesome family, you know, fun and activity. Now it's just there is no value on human life. We see the influence of Satan and wanting to destroy human life all over our world. You see it in the influence on TV, video games. There's not a value on human life at all. And what does that do to God's people? What does that do to us? And what does that do to the world? It really desensitizes us to murder and violence. And we the more we see it, we think, you know, it's really no big deal. Well, here's the thing. We're made in God's image. We are His creation. And so as followers of His, we should have a value on human life. I should value human life as much as I do my brothers and sisters as somebody who's lost. Because, no, they're not considered a child of God, but they're still a highlight of His creation. And we should value life. There should be no place for racism in the church at all. That's a murdering someone's image. Jesus takes the sin of murder to a whole nother level, as we know, when he says, if you look at someone and you hate them, you've murdered them in your heart. That happens far too often, especially with people that are different than us. We should hold no hate in our heart towards people, whether they're different skin color or a different lifestyle. We should still love them. We should still call out sin. And I hope you understand that I'm going to always do that. But we shouldn't hold hate in our heart for people. Because that is of who? That's of Satan. That's of Satan. So we should have a high value on life. Genesis 1:27, the verse I've quoted a couple of times a lot, you can highlight this. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." So Satan is not only out to destroy the physical life, and how does he do that? With sin. He uses sin to destroy the physical life of people, whether it's through drinking and driving, whether it's through overeating, whether it's whatever it is. He wants to use the lie, and we're going to get to the lying part here in a minute, to destroy human life. Because what's the goal ultimately? Because he deceived Adam and Eve, he brought sin into the world, which brought what? Death into the world. And he wants to destroy, and he wants to destroy spiritually. The best thing for Satan, or the thing that he loves more than anything, is to see God's creation. That when he said he got done creating man, he said it was very good. He wants to see that separated from God in hell. So he murders. Man was created in the image of God. And when that is devalued, what does it do? It devalues God. So that's his, boy, he loves to do that. The second thing here that we see, if you go back to John chapter 8, in verse 44, this is what Jesus says, another characteristic of Satan here. He says, "You are your father, the devil, and your will is to your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So this is a character trait of Satan. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. I talked to the kids about this. I talked to the kids a little bit about this. But turn to Genesis chapter 3. He's been lying from the very beginning. Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say?'" I know I use voice and fluctuation, but when I read that, I can picture Satan saying it like that. "Did God actually tell you that?" He's being deceptive. It's deceptive. "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of the tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Did God lie? Absolutely not. He said, "Don't touch it, or it's going to end in death." God warned them. Go to verse 4. "But the serpent said to the woman," here it goes. Here's the lies. "You shall not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. He used a lie. Did God really say that? God didn't really say that, did he? He takes a small truth and he twists it into a lie. You see, guys, that's a whole nother sermon. This should be a lesson for us that if you're only telling part of the truth, guess what it is? It's still a lie. You either tell the whole truth, what when you get sworn into court, "I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth," right? "So help me God." So it's a small little bit and he changes it. So as a result of Adam and Eve listening to this lie of Satan, what happened? The whole world is now plunged into sin and death, which helps the murdering part. That's his goal. So he uses lies. Romans 5:12 says this, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." See, he knew exactly what he was doing. This is the highlight of God's creation. I hate God, so I'm gonna deceive him, and it'll end in death. But unfortunately, Satan isn't God, right? And to him, unfortunately, oh man, I'm not God, because God took care of it by sending his son Jesus to die, which was a huge price. But Satan's a liar. Satan will lie. How does he do that? He makes it look good. He makes sin look good. What did he do with Adam and Eve? Oh, yeah, You guys would be like God if you ate that. You would know right from wrong. So he makes it look good. He doesn't make sin and death look bad. He makes it look good. And so he says things like, just one more drink. It's not really going to hurt anything. If you just have one, it's really not going to hurt anything. Really not going to hurt anything. What is if you're an alcoholic? One drink's going to hurt if you're an alcoholic. One more look. Oh, man, she's good looking. Just take one more look. Oh, that sin's not very bad. I mean, you're not as bad as those other people. It's okay. You just keep doing what you're doing. You're not nearly as bad a guy as that other person, right? Or, it's okay. Everybody does it. Now, you know there's no audible voice telling you this. It's inside of you telling you this. And that's a lie from Satan. Oh, it's really okay. It's really not that bad. When, if you're a brother or sister in Christ, the Holy Spirit says, get the sin out of your life. Follow me. Follow me. So Satan lies. You see, what Satan wants to do is he wants to make us comfortable living in sin. And so what we do is we start to justify it. It's not that bad. I mean, I'm just human. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do it. And so you keep living this life in sin. So what do? You choose evil and you choose sin over obedience to God. You see, and Satan deceives. He's deceptive. James 1:14 says this, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. How did he get Adam and Eve? He made the fruit look good. He made it look good. I want to make sure you guys understand. You'll know, you'll have God's knowledge if you eat this. So he makes it look good. He will also, what does he do today? We see this all over today. He will also lie to deceive people to believe a false gospel. He also uses deception. Guys, I want to say, we talk about this a lot, and this needs to be addressed today. Also, there are so many false religions that say, Jesus, Jesus, they use Jesus' name, but they don't understand justification. They don't understand how people are to be made right by him. They don't understand it. They think you have to do something. You know, the number one characteristic when we talk through Kingdom of the Cults, when we talk through that book on Wednesday nights, you know the number one thing that all cults have in common? Number one thing. One thing they all have in common. You have to do something good in order to be made right in God's eyes. You have to do this. I'm going to make you do this in order to get this. That's a lie from Satan. Only trusting in what Christ did alone on the cross is how we're saved. I know I say that a lot, but I have to drill it into your head. You know why? Because the number one converts to Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness, guess where they come from? Protestant American churches. Because they don't know the truth, and they aren't taught the truth. That's a lie from Satan, that you have to do anything to be saved. That's a lie. And he makes it sound just so close to the real gospel. So we have to know what's right and wrong. We trust in faith alone, in Christ alone, for God's glory alone. Third thing Satan does. Intellectual error. Let's cover this. 1 Timothy 4:9. This is another way he lies. This is another lie. Characteristic of him being a liar. 1 Timothy 4:1. And we'll read 2, so stay there. 1 Timothy 4:1, let's start with that. Now the Spirit says expressly that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons. When I read that, I see that all over right now. All over. And what I just talked about, that people will depart from the faith and devote themselves to wrong teaching, to false teaching. We have to guard the truth. Guard the word. We have to be diligent in guarding what we teach and what we preach. Why? Why do we have to be diligent in that? Why should we always be looking at this, of the truth of God's word? Because Satan will try to distort it. He will try to distort it. And if he can distort it from here, and not me, I mean the pulpits, if he can distort it from the truth being taught and a lie being taught, guess what? You all are going to believe what? A lie. You're going to believe a lie and not the truth. So we have to guard what we teach. We have to guard it because Satan is going to try to deceive. Verse 2, go to verse 2. 1 Timothy 4:2. Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. And here's the thing. Let's look at these two things. Who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So Paul gives us two examples of false teaching here, of lies from Satan. They're lies. And let's look at them. They're good practical examples. He gives us two examples of false teaching. The first one, what? Forbid marriage. You can't be married. All right, that was what they said. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you want to be a follower of Jesus, you can't be married. All right, being Family Sunday, I'm not going to go into detail about what we see in our country right now. But what is the big lie right now? That anyone can be married to anybody else regardless of gender. That is not in here. I'm sorry, that's not in here. And so we can't teach that. We can't say that. We can't act like it is there. We have to stand on the truth of God's word and nothing else. Listen, if we get beat up for that, if people slander us for standing that truth, if they don't like it, it just is what it is. We can't get upset by it. That's just what it is. It's a lie. It's a lie from Satan that will get people off track on a false gospel, a false teaching of who God isn't. And guess what? I can believe. I mean, I'm going to be ridiculous this morning. But if this mic stand, if I decided to worship this mic stand and I called it Jesus, would I be worshiping the Jesus of the Bible? No. So just because I call something Jesus, if it's not the Jesus of the Bible, am I worshiping the right Jesus? No. No. And that's a lie. That's a lie from Satan. Second thing. What does he say? You can't eat that if you're a believer. You should abstain from eating certain things. So what is he saying there? What is he saying? You must do certain things to be made right in God's eyes. It's the same lie that I just covered today. It's just worded differently. You must be baptized to be saved. You must take communion to be saved. You must be a church member. Those are all lies. That's not how we're justified before God. That's not how we're justified before God. We're justified by trusting in what Jesus did alone on the cross, and that's it. Anything else is, it's a subtle deviant from the truth. And hey, if I was to tell Mike a story, and 90% of it was the truth, 95% of it was the truth, but 5% was a lie, would that story be truthful? No. You see, a little bit of deception, a little bit of a lie, ruins the whole thing. And that's why we have to guard the truth. Because there is error in what is being taught. There just is. And so we have to dig for that. Listen, I'm not perfect. Study this stuff. Look at it. I appreciate it that if you go back after a sermon and go, okay, hey, did he misspeak? Did he say something he shouldn't have said? We need to do that. You need to do that. Don't trust everything that comes out of somebody's mouth. You know what you can trust? This. And that's it. And that's not me, not Josh, not Tristan, not any of our other elders, not Mike. This. You got to trust this. You got to trust this. Those are the two examples. Those are lies from Satan. So let me close with this morning, with verse 47. Go back to John 8, 47. It says this, John 8, 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them as that you are not of God." So Jesus is standing here talking to these guys, and he's trying to tell them, right, of who he is. And you know what it's doing? It's going in one ear and right out the other. It's just like they don't get it. They don't understand. It's going through one ear and right out the other. Now, in their sense, it was a physical hearing, okay? With us, it's not going to be a booming voice from heaven. It's a spiritual hearing. This is the Holy Spirit working in your life. It's a recognition of who God is and who you are. And God and the Holy Spirit leading you. And you submitting to His authority in your life. It's a spiritual hearing that you know you have the Holy Spirit and He's guiding your life. You know what? I talk to people sometimes that say, you know what? I read this, I just don't understand it. I read it, I don't know. I don't get it. And part of it is maybe they're never taught. But a lot of it, listen guys, what we believe is foolish to somebody who's lost. It's foolish. It doesn't make sense. It's crazy. It's radical. It's like, man, these guys are nuts. They're crazy. But to us, what is it? It's the power of God working inside. It's the power of God. So when we read this and we read it in truth and we talk about it with one another and we do discipleship with one another and we're fellowshipping with one another and we're talking about things of God, there's a time where we spiritually hear God because we're His children. And we listen and we obey. When the Holy Spirit works in a soul and draws them, they believe, they hear. Lost people don't hear. Lost people don't hear. Our sin has blocked them from God. And as Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness," do what? Suppress the truth. Their sin suppresses the truth. All right, so let's do a quick review. Quick review. What are the works of the devil? What are the works? Well, number one, and I didn't even cover this today, and it's important. Number one, Satan rejects God. Right? He rejects God. What are his characteristics? He's a murderer. He destroys God's creation by bringing sin and death into the world, which results in what? In eternal separation from God. Now, God in his glory and his love and his mercy, because he loves us so much, said, "I'm going to bridge that gap. I'm going to pave a way for them to be saved." And he sent his son to die for us. Satan, he wants to destroy. He wants to devalue life. It's not important. Life's not important. And that's the lie. If you're not like me, your life's not important. I'm not going to value human life. They're a waste of time. You know what? Coincidentally, some of the most evilest empires in the world did exactly the same thing. When I was walking through the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., it was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. And there was a section in there that had shoes that were worn by people that went to Auschwitz and were gassed because they were Jews. And there were, I don't know, thousands of shoes piled up. Heartbreakingly sad. And there was another section that Hitler, if you were born with any kind of defect or mental issue or mental illness, he would execute you. You were not deemed sufficient part of society. Some of those evil societies in the world devalue human life. And guys, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we can't devalue human life. One life is just as important as another. Somebody in Southwest Missouri is just as important as somebody who lives in the sands of Iran. Just as important. We have to value human life because Satan doesn't. Number two, he's a liar. He's going to lie. He's going to make sin look good, make it look enticing, Why? So people will stay in their sin, be blinded from the truth, and ultimately end in spiritual death, in murder. And then the third thing is he wants to teach. Let's twist the scripture just a little bit. Just like he twists the words of God with Adam and Eve, if he can twist it just a little bit and get people to believe a false teaching or a false doctrine, look, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did mighty works in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know who you are. I never knew you. Right? That is people who scripture has been twisted. It sounds like Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. And they believe a lie their whole life. And they stand before God and they say, well, hold on here. And God says, I don't know who you are, because they believed a lie of Satan. They listened to something coming out of somebody's mouth instead of digging in to the truth that this is. The truth that this is. Finally, my question for you this morning, is the Holy Spirit working in your life? Are you hearing from God? We're not going to have an invitation this morning, so we're going to take communion, but is the Holy Spirit working in your life? In many different ways. To my brothers and sisters, maybe there's habitual sin that you need to get rid of. Maybe it's he's working to lead you to join this body. Maybe the Holy Spirit, just like as we heard from Parker, was working on his heart and his life, and he turned his life over to Christ. If there is, I want you to know, we'll visit with you after the service. I'll be more than happy to stay and talk to you and visit with you. That's what we've got for today. So I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask our elders to come forward this morning. We're going to take communion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. And I thank you for the truth that is found in your word. Not found in me or any man of what comes out of our mouth. But Lord, let us just submit to your word. And let us teach your word. And let me preach your word and nothing else. Because that is the power. That's the power and the authority that's found there, Lord. And I pray for people that are believing a lie right now, this morning in our country. Let us share the gospel with them, because that's how your Holy Spirit works, is by the teaching and preaching of your word. So let us be bold in that. If there's people here this morning that the Holy Spirit's working in their lives, let them not leave here today without getting down on their knees and submitting to you. We love you and we thank you. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask our elders to come this morning. And as they're coming, let me say this morning. We have an open communion at Crossbridge. Let me explain what that is. We don't require that you be a member of this church, just that you have made a public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this time, before we do that, Scripture tells us that we should examine ourselves before the Lord. And number one, the first thing is examine yourself, and are you a follower of Christ? Have you made that profession of faith? Do you understand it? Have you meant it? Today we talked about Satan and his desire to destroy and murder God's creation. And as we're about ready to partake in communion today, I do want you to spend a couple of minutes doing two things. One, rejoicing in the fact that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection broke that power of sin and death. And that Satan, my brothers and sisters, cannot destroy your soul because God saved it. And so he has no power and authority over you. And we should rejoice in that today and be very thankful for the sacrifice that Christ made for us on the cross. And the second thing, in going with what I open with, we're told by Paul, and I'll read you the verses, in 1 Corinthians 11:27-30, it says this, "Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." If you have unrepentant, unconfessed sin in your life, I warn you, my brothers and sisters, not to take communion this morning until you confess that sin to God and repent of that sin, turn from that sin. We're going to take a couple of minutes. I want you to thank the Lord for what he did for us on the cross, that he defeated the power of Satan, of murder and death. And number two, examine yourself this morning and confess your sins before God. So let's take a couple of minutes in silent prayer. All God's people said, amen. So Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 26 that Jesus had gathered with his disciples to celebrate Passover. And I'll read you a couple of verses here. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." When we pass out communion here, you're going to have two cups. On the bottom is going to be bread. On the top is the juice. We're going to take the bread first this morning in remembering his body being broken for us. So, Max, would you please bless the bread? As we're passing this out this morning, you can spend time in a quiet reflection or prayer. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take ye and eat." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Mike, would you please bless the cup?
Father, help us, Lord, remember the price that Jesus Christ paid on that cross. And we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Lord, help us remind ourselves of the price that he paid on our behalf for all those that put their faith and trust in him. And we thank you for everything that you've done. And thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. As he sings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
And Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is given for you. Take ye and drink." Matthew chapter 26, verse 30 says, "Afterwards, they went out together rejoicing and singing." So we're going to do that this morning. So I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me this morning. I'm going to ask Tristan to lead us in Amazing Grace. When we are done with that, you are dismissed. See. You are dismissed. 1:30 if you would like to help decorate. 5:30 for VBS. Have a great day.